Prepare yourself for invasion. This is Indie Invasion.
Hey guys, welcome to another interview with Mac and Eric. We are Indie Invasion, sponsored by Coastal Con. That's always backwards when I do that on my shirt. We are super excited today. We have a couple of guests with us from Hydra Miniatures, who are the producers of several different games. But the one we're mostly talking about today is Retro Ray Gun, although there are some other cool ones that inevitably we will be doing first impressions and unboxing of, because that is normally what we do. We have no willpower when it comes to tiny men. Eric, say hello, please.
Hello. You don't have willpower. I know you.
You don't either. You have willpower for not opening your box. You do not have willpower for the pay now button. Just saying. So we have with us today Matt and John from Hydra Miniatures. Guys, welcome to Indie Invasion. We're thrilled to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
Awesome. So we kind of I stumbled across.
Yeah, I was going to say, you more or less just tripped over Hydra's.
I believe someone was using some of your miniatures in a different pulp game. And I said, oh man, those are really cool. I need to see where those are coming from because I like them. And yes, actually I found one of those a long time ago. Yeah. And so I stumbled across it and I said, well, that's really cool. And Eric and I had both talked about the big thing that jumped out to us wasn't even the fact that it's retro, but that's really cool that it's a retro space game, but it was that it wasn't dark. It was everything heroic that like old comic books used to be, the old cliffhangers used to be. Eric, speak to that a little bit.
The classic Flash Gordon serials that we used to see from the 40s and 50s. And it was, like you said, it wasn't dark and brooding. It was just your epic heroes versus the epic villains.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of standing there with hands on your hips and chest puffed out kind of heroics. Yeah. The finger pointing at the enemy kind of thing. It was that jumped out. And for the two of us also, it's miniatures and they're beautiful miniatures. We were just talking last night, I believe, about minimal mold lines and just really nice minis. And you do a lot of the sculpting. Is that correct, Matt?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm an art teacher. That's what I do during the day job. But I started sculpting miniatures. I was painting miniatures a lot, winning some contests, but I decided to take the leap and start sculpting my own. And I remember, you know, kids watch the same movie over and over again. I must have watched Iron Giant like maybe 100 times. Uh-huh. And I had some leftover bits of putty that I was doing for other jobs. And I sculpted that Warbot, the guy with one eye. And sort of like an amalgam of many different types of robots. And that became sort of the icon, for that. And I thought, oh, I'll produce that. And then we started sculpting a few more and it just started to connect, you know?
Awesome. That's awesome. Eric, you want to go ahead and kick us off there and start grilling these guys? We're going to give you the third degree and twist the thumb screws on you.
So, yeah, it's not too much torture, but any one of you guys can jump into this. But we wanted to kind of start with what got you guys into the world of gaming? What was your intro into our...
Well, you want to start, Matt?
Oh, go ahead, John.
Okay, I'll start. I think I'm older than all you guys.
So... I just look young.
Okay. You do look young. You look great. So I started gaming when I was a teenager back in the 70s. So some of the first games I played were the old Avalon Hill games, you know, with all the chits and that type of stuff.
And millions of pieces of cardboard.
Oh, yes, all the little detailed little chits. And it was fun, you know, but... Then a good friend of mine read this really weird book that nobody had heard of at that time called The Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
So we all said, well, I guess we were 14 or something. We all just totally thought that book was the coolest thing. And then that sort of led into miniatures gaming. You know, there was a great line of miniatures called Fantastiques, which were, they were like Lord of the Ring knockoffs. They didn't have license.
Right.
They were really cool. They were true 25 millimeter little guys. I've still got hundreds of them. They were fantastic. Wow. And then that sort of turned into miniatures gaming and role playing gaming. You know, original D&D Dungeons and Dragons 3-pack that didn't even have combat rules in it. Right, you had to come up with your own combat rules for the original D&D. So I was really into that. And then there's a whole series of little games that I enjoyed that were the stuff I like is more tactical and fast rather than lots of war lists and you know, spending all your time making lists and making the perfect army. I appreciate that's a great side of gaming, but I like stuff a little faster. So, you know, like the old Steve Jackson's games, the ogre stuff. So that's kind of the flavor that I like. And I love that you guys got the retro kind of imagery or feel from the miniatures.
Yes. 'Cause,
and Matt will maybe be shy about this, but I won't. Matt would spend weeks and weeks only looking at original art from the 50s.
Right.
He didn't get that. So the 70s imagery was not in his head. It was so that's why he came up with so many looks that are really authentic. You think they totally could have been created in 1950.
Oh, yeah. They're amazing. They're absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I really I tried to approach the project sort of like how historical miniatures sculptors will look at source material.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so what I tried not to do is either in stuff that I was sculpting or in my design briefs to other artists is to inject too much of a postmodern look at it, you know, like how we would see it now, and try and make it like we always ask ourselves, John and I, does this seem like that's authentic for the era? You know, does that seem plausible for that? And lots of times people throw out some really good ideas, but we're like, that's a little too 80s. That's a little too 70s, or that's a little bit too steampunk. So we're trying to hit that kind of that sweet spot there.
Right. Be true to what you're trying to put out there.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not that old, so I don't remember, like, I didn't read those things in the 50s or anything like that. But, like, you know, in the 80s, I loved, like, that Flash Gordon movie and that Saturday morning TV series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I just thought it was so cool, you know. And being a kid of Star Wars, I remember in 77 when it first came out. And, like, people today don't really understand how, like, big of a deal it was back in that day, right? You know, because it was in the theater continuously for almost a whole year. You know, that was before they had VHS. And it was, like, I don't know how many times I saw it. So, you know, that was sort of the thing that I'm trying to inject into this. I don't want to make it like a make it too much like a Flash Gordon knockoff. You know, I do have a Zur and a Buster Gordy, but taking a look at all these different sources and kind of bringing them together into sort of those iconic type of ideas,
You know,
space Amazons, robots, space patrol, you know, big headed aliens.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're awesome. So your turn now, how did you get started into the gaming world?
Oh yeah. I just love to do like fantasy and sci-fi stuff. And I remember it was like Fantastic Films was a magazine. I used to love those magazines, looking at them all the time. And in the back, they had an order form for these Dungeons and Dragons miniatures. I had no idea what that thing was. And we went to this local toy store. It's called Circus World. And I see a box of Grenadier figures.
Yeah.
They open up the glass display case. And I bought my first set of like 20 guys. It was like the Tomb of Horrors or something like that. And, you know, and then you start seeing all these local hobby shops starting to spring up. And then I found out like, oh, these are figures that are used for Dungeons and Dragons. So, you know, we got the box set and everything like that. And that was like awesome, you know.
Right.
I mean, D&D was so cool back in the day. And then I remember then I was getting Dragon Magazine because I like D&D, and they had an advert for this company, Citadel Miniatures, and they had Hammer 40K advert. And oh my gosh, I went crazy. I loved the 40K figures. I didn't like the rules so much, you know. They're a little bit clunky and everything like that, and they've become more and more and more so. But I just loved painting those figures. They were so great. And I still love a lot of old school Ralpartha and Grenadier. Like I go to eBay all the time and buy them. So that's like another side thing of all these like old school armies, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So for both of you guys, answer however you like. Back in those wonderful days of first learning about all this stuff, what was your absolute favorite game? You wouldn't turn it down. Beg mom, beg dad, I got to go play. What was your favorite game?
Yeah, I guess you go through phases. Yeah. I was a real Dungeons & Dragons player in the late 70s. So I think it was probably 1978 between my junior and senior year in high school. And I played Dungeons & Dragons for 4 hours a day, I think, all summer.
Oh, that's a thing of beauty right there. I just want to say that's a thing of beauty.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember in middle school, oh boy, they had like this, they had a study hall class, and D&D got so popular, they had a D&D, you could go to these different clubs that they ran during that time, and they had a Dungeons & Dragons club, and literally they had 100 kids signed up playing Dungeons & Dragons for an hour during
middle school. Wow.
It was crazy. And yeah, it was when, like, in maybe the early 80s or mid 80s, when it sort of all of a sudden really hit mainstream, 84. Right. Where you could go to like Kmart and they would have all the books there, you know, and that right. was pretty awesome. But man, I remember those lazy summer days. I was a DM and I had a group of players and we played for 3 years straight, you know, every weekend or, you know, sometimes in summer twice or three times. And I remember drawing all those maps and making all those characters and, you know, coming up with the storyline and, you know, and, you know, we didn't have cell phones and texting. So it was like, people call the house and like, this is what I want to do with my character. I'm like, okay, I'll see if I can write it into the story. And I mean, how awesome was that? You know, like it's really, it was a special time that can't really be replicated. There's all kinds of great games.
Yes.
But like that was so special, right?
Well, you know, what you say actually speaks volumes because we've done quite a few of these interviews with a lot of different independent developers. And almost every time, it comes back to D&D at some point. I think we may have had one person name something else. And I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But it
comes down to the story, right? It's the narrative. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does. It came down to that story. And that's just so much fun. And we see it. It just permeates the gaming culture, D&D does. Now, I played D&D too. And it's I don't have time to sit down and play RPGs hardly anymore, but I have other RPG systems that I like, but everything that I play that's fantasy or that I DM, it all had all these elements of Dungeons and Dragons in it because that was just it, like you said, John, Lord of the Rings started the ball rolling and then it was just an avalanche of D&D and monster manuals, deities and demigods and, you had to have all of the books, just all of them. So that's awesome. I'm glad we can maintain that Dungeons & Dragons still is the one that is leading the charge.
All right. I got our next one here, Mac. So I wanted to know what inspired you guys. I mean, we touched on a little bit of the old serials, but what really inspired you guys to create a game referring to Retro Ray Gun in this kind of setting?
Well, you know, when I first started Hydra Miniatures, it was just me sculpting, you know, at the kitchen table, you know, and that was, I released my first figures in 2008. I did a little bit of freelancing and it was too much of a hassle. And I was having more fun doing my own stuff. So I finally put two and two together and figured I could sell them. And it started with two miniatures and three miniatures and four miniatures. And I had a friend and he's like, and you know, the figures didn't have any game system. You can use them for whatever you want. But, who was saying, hey, we should do War Rocket and have these things. And we started working on this game together. And it wasn't going so well because, you know, I wanted to sell more spaceships. It takes a lot of money and investment and time to make a spaceship model, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to play with fleets, not just one miniature.
Right.
And John had met me. We met together on a forum, and he's like, I got a few ideas. And I didn't even know he lived in Michigan, which was awesome, you know?
Wow, what a coincidence, yeah.
And,
it worked out.
And we really had a great time. John, wasn't that a fun time developing War Rocket?
Yeah, it really was. I think that we were getting to know each other and we really synced up together on what we were looking for. You know, there's so many Rocket games that have very high levels of detail. So you've got to track all your damage on a piece of paper. They're more like warship games, like, you know, Wooden Ships and Iron Men type thing. Well, okay, you lost 1 point of engine and you lost 1 point of, and those games are great. And I played one of the originals.
Mean Starfleet Battles?
Well, no, but actually I played before Starfleet Battles. There was a game called Alpha Omega. I don't know if you guys have, you should look that up.
Yeah.
It was like 1976, and it sort of took the old warship sailing ship game and turned it into space. And that was done in the 70s, in the early 70s. So before Starfleet Battles, there was systems that were doing that. And I liked those games. I played those with my buddies. They were a lot of fun. But I think what we were looking for, because it's pulp what we're doing, right? It's lighter.
Yes,
we decided that it really needed to move faster, right? That it wasn't the kind of game where you plug it out. So I don't know how many times we rewrote War Rocket, 5 times. I mean, you know, we rewrite our games over and over again until we like them, you know, together, that we get the feel that we want. So we really synced well together, wanting this game that had great tactics, but plays super fast. So that it's fun, beer and pretzels. You can play the game in an hour. So when we go to conventions with either War Rocket or Retro Ray Gun, I do a 3-hour slot. I can teach the rules. I can get people a little bit of practice, and they can play a whole game. And it always ends in the 3 hours. Everybody has a great time.
Right. Well, we think that you should sign up for however long you want at Coastal Con.
Yeah.
No, it sounds great. It sounds like a perfect venue for us.
It is.
You know, we've been to Gen Con a lot. It gets expensive. Geez, you stay in downtown Indy and it's $200 a night for a hotel. We have a great time.
Right.
But I think you guys are specializing in the kind of audience that would really fit us.
Absolutely. That's what we do. I was telling Matt before we jumped on that was the purpose behind it, was to share all the indie games and give developers a platform where you're not competing with 40K or any of the other big guys. You're walking around tables, you're seeing games like Pulp Alley, you're seeing games like Twisted and Deep Wars and Burrows and Badgers, all of these games from guys who have passionately poured their lives into a rule set and a set of miniatures because they love the game that they've created, and giving people an opportunity to put their games on the table. So that's what we do.
Yeah. So, you know, when we did used to go to Gen Con. John would continue to go and run games, but like, it was just too much for me.
Yeah.
Because it's just too big. Right. And I couldn't get it.
Yes, I did. I even dressed the part when I would go.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes. I watched the videos.
I mean, so, you know, it's funny because John created this cosplay, right, based on a Galactyr. And so then I had to sculpt John as a Galactyr cosplaying. And so they were passing out so the Commander Mudpie, that's John's, you know, handle that he goes by, passing out the free Commander Mudpie figure at the games. It was hysterical. I mean, really, really funny.
All right, so I'm going to need to get a Commander Mudpie. How do I get one? Who do I have to bribe?
Yeah, but they're available now on the website. So you can totally pick that up.
I am going to.
But War Rocket was very successful. It was always in the same universe as the Retro Raygun figures, but we didn't have our own rule set to play with them. And, you know, after, you know, at dinner after Gen Con, we were talking about that we really need to kind of work on that and come up with an idea. But like, it was very difficult, right? Because the market's sort of saturated with these type of games, smaller skirmish games or smaller battle games. And we took kind of a different route. I mean, it was really different. And when we finally got, John was working on it. I went to Adepticon and played on all these like 40K and fantasy tournaments, and it was miserable. I hated it. And then I came home and John had come up with like version 5 of Retro Raygun. And I'm like, this is it. This is really good.
Right.
And it feels much like you're talking about D&D and storytelling. It's a storytelling game. It's not really a battle game. And it reminded me of a lazy summer afternoon playing outside in the sandbox with my Star Wars action figures.
Right.
And having a little bit more free form. And it felt really different from what was available at the time right then.
Yeah. And for Eric and I, another thing that inspired us to start doing this is it seems like for most of the independent game developers, it's that story. It's exactly what you said, Matt. It's that playing, it's reliving that playing with your toys as a kid because you're telling a story. It's mm-hmm. not that I rolled higher than you every single time, which, I mean, that's part of the game. That's what makes it a game. But it's the story that you're telling in the process of doing that. The Galacteers are attacking and overcoming the Valkyrie. And I only say that because I bought the Galacteers and he bought the Valkyrie. So that's how that's going to go, whether he likes it or not. But, you know, but, you know, telling that story. And at the end of the day, when you're done playing the game, not talking about what you rolled, but what happened as far as the story. It is mm-hmm. so much more fun to us as players. And I know there's a lot of people that like to play competitively, and that's great. Competitive games are great if that's what you want to play. But this is something we actually wanted to touch on. Eric, you want to jump into the ray gun roll off? That was something that really stood out.
Yeah. I mean, our first impressions, you know, when we first came across the rule book and we got the rule book and we were looking through it. And the first thing that jumped out to us is how your roll off system for the combat, how quick and easy and simple it was. So you can stay in that narrative of the game. I mean, that was one of our first impressions of the game, is how quick that was. And it's great. That's great. I wish there was more games that were quicker like that and not dealing with all the stats and marking this off and this checkbox and, oh, you can only do this so many times. You got to, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
We really focused on simplicity, but still, really fun tactics.
Right.
So the best player will usually win.
Great.
I'm
done.
Don't worry about it. So it is. It's still a competition, but it's at a quick and high level. And I think we were looking for almost like a comic book sort of feel to keep, like you said, Eric. Right. It keeps you right in the story.
Yeah.
And so what the dice roll really does is it drives the story. So we don't have a hit roll and then a defense roll and then all those rolls. We decided to get the right feel, which matches the miniatures, that it would roll very quickly. And some people are a little bit shaken by that. They're like, wow, my whole squad went away. Right? So then the action moves on. What are you going to do now?
Right.
You have cases where we've had some great games where that chimpanzee Comet goes in there and has several good rolls and saves the day, right? The chimpanzee.
Watch out, Eric.
His banana.
Exactly. And that's the kind of feel we wanted. And you're shouting when the roll comes up, you're like, oh, I got to get this roll, and
right.
You throw the dice down. So that's the kind of spirit that we were looking for. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fun. That can create those fun, epic moments of those highs and lows. But it's that narrative. So he's already got it together. He's already threatening me with that.
He's fantastic. He's a great character. And then what we also did is we fleshed out the characters with enough detail so that they would be fun and you'd learn their personality, but not so much that you felt like it was a burden, right? Well, you can't
get it done. I mean, they have just enough stats that you get a feel of who they are, what they can do, but not like trying to remember, oh, this guy has five abilities.
Right.
You know, they just have those couple and it's dependent, like your heroes, if you attach it to a squad, it can have an effect on that. And I thought that simplicity, that enough to get you going and have fun in the game was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely a delight to see that. And for me, when I jumped into it, you know, there's Ace McGuire. He's no longer Ace McGuire on my table. He's Eddie Turbo. I've already, the game pulled me in enough that I decided, okay, I need my own Galacteer Special Squadron, and that's what they're going to have. So I did have to bring a little bit of 70s into it, and I gave Eddie Turbo some serious mutton chops. So just because it felt
that's awesome.
We were talking the other night, and it just seemed like a guy named Eddie Turbo needed some big old chops on his face, so he has them. But
go ahead. It's a real elegant system. You know, I picked up a battle game that takes place in a galaxy far, far away. I love the miniatures by a certain big company.
Right.
But reading through the rules and watching them online, it's kind of a turnoff. It's a lot of niddling here. And it's obviously meant for tournaments and competition.
Sure.
I'm like, why don't I just take the figures and stat them for Retro Ray Gun and play in a galaxy far, far away with my own rules, you know? Right.
A galaxy a little farther away.
Yeah.
Than far, far.
But I mean, it could easily be just transferred into, you know, type of genre.
Yeah, and that's a nice feature too, to be able to just plug and play with the rules. That's a really nice feature, because there's so many of us nowadays that the miniature gaming has become what it is. I'm sure you guys have the same disease that the rest of us have, where you have far too many miniatures, not nearly enough paint or brushes or time. And yet when you see that new miniature, you go, oh, I need that. And I can't have it without the squad. And of course, because there's a squad, they need a transport vehicle to go with it. Oh, and there's spaceships too. Cause you guys don't suffer from that at all, do you?
As long as you have unpainted miniatures, you'll never die. That's what I've heard.
That's what I've heard too. I will live forever then.
John has a great discipline, though, for getting things done, I got to say. During the pandemic, I went over and visited him after a couple months of in the pandemic, and he's like, I finished this whole army for this game, you know, like something like 150 figures, you know, and it was like, and built terrain and everything. And I'm like, how did you do that, you know?
So, I'm right there with you. I have just this past 2 weeks, I've built 3 demo boards for some of the games that we run at Coastal Con, so I'm right there with you. So now for us, we've only really dove into Retro Ray Guns so far. And that's only because, you know, our hobby budget has not allowed us to pick up War Rocket yet. But fear not, we are addicted to gaming. So we will be picking up War Rocket soon. But what's in store for the future of Retro Ray Gun? Where is it headed? Where is it going? And how's it getting there?
Well, we've been putting a lot of energy and effort into our newest project, which is Atomic Tank. And so basically, we didn't think about this when we first started doing it, but we have sort of this trilogy of games that take place in the Hydra Retroverse. And so this is the third and final game. I can't think of any other miniature games that we could do, you know? And it's epic, you know? So that's what we've been working on a lot right now. And that's been diverting a lot of, you know, I don't have infinite funds. I don't have infinite time as a side project, but we're trying to be disciplined and trying to finish that up.
Sure.
So that's what we're working on. That's what's in your envelopes. You want to open them?
Should we open our envelope?
Yeah, open them.
While we're ripping these open, can you tell us a little bit about Atomic Tank?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Or is it secret?
Atomic Tank is set in the same Retroverse as Retro Ray Gun and War Rocket. Ultimately, the three games could even be blended together into, say, a series of games that stack on top of each other or get involved in each other. So Atomic Tank is a land battle type of game. So there's tanks and robots and troopers. And they're at roughly a 10-millimeter scale.
Right.
So you can get a lot of little guys out there. Yeah. It's a big battle scale type of game.
They're gorgeous. Thank you so much. They're awesome looking. We got some regular troopers here, heavy troopers, and a jet jeep. And we'll throw a video up. We'll take a look at those.
We'll have to do
through ours, yeah, and take a look at them. That's awesome and exciting. And I like the idea, both of us do, of the trilogy of games. And because like you guys said, you're tying your whole universe in together. The problem with that for me is that I can never decide on one faction. And if I did just decide on one faction, that would be fine. I could play them in Retro Ray Gun, and I could play them in War Rocket, and I could play them in Atomic Tank.
I see his mind already going. He's developing stories right now.
But I can't just do one faction, so I'm going to have way too many models for way too much. Oh, well,
the Galacteers do have an awesome atomic tank.
That is so nice.
Your choice of Galacteers is not a bad one.
That's I like that, and I do like the Galacteers. Maybe this might be the game that I only pick one faction. Although I already do, I did order two Imperial models first, though. I'm not going to.
So
a little
nice
rocket tanks. They're fantastic.
They're great.
We just,
those are awesome. Awesome. What were you going to say, Matt? Go ahead.
Oh, so so it's hard to design and produce all these different factions. Like when we did War Rocket initially, right? It was four factions, four rockets, and you know, trying to keep the development and making them all symmetrical and everything like that. Sure. That was a lot to do 16 models. But with Atomic Tank, there's 10 product codes per faction. So that's a lot of figures. So We're almost done with the Galacteers. We're almost done with the robots. My mold maker's making a mold this weekend that has a few more pieces in it. And the third faction's Imperials, and they're going to be excellent too. They're going to be
John grabbing cool stuff. So
there's the destroyer bot in the 10 millimeter scale.
There you go, Eric.
Heroic scale one, huh?
Yeah.
So he's the same dude. Here's the Galacteers on a squad base.
He's going to stomp them.
No, they're going to take him out.
These guys have rocket packs. They're pretty cool.
See, so, they're rocket packs, Eric.
Yeah. So we've been having a fun time developing that, working on the rules for that, working on the miniatures. And it's so much actually to develop all that. So it's been taking up a lot of time.
Sure.
But you guys have seen the Imperials. We have a playtest list out. And
yep,
we're going to be here. Yep. And we're going to be releasing the Imperial Princess soon. So she's going to be sweet. If you guys like the Valkyrie, same sculptor who did them, did this Imperial Princess. So she is awesome. And then I do have a few Zenithians, but we haven't really gotten around to doing it. Just as we were starting to get more models together, you know, Atomic Tank starts to take off as far as the development goes. So, just like I have a hard time with finishing projects for painting, I have a hard time with finishing projects for sculpting and just general development. So John's the engineer who kind of keeps me kind of going.
He's the artist and I'm the engineer. I'm like, don't you want to make a time schedule here? He's like, don't pressure me.
Don't this. Box me in, man.
I know. When I first met John, he held up some sort of, it must be some sort of project management software that you guys use.
The Gantt chart.
All this stuff. And I'm like, oh no, that's not how my brain works. I'm not.
Like, this is the model. I'm going to sculpt it. Now leave me alone for a little while.
But I think it's been a really great relationship we've had. I've enjoyed working with Matt so well because we complement each other well. I think alone we wouldn't have been able to make these creations for sure. I would have gone off into some direction and he pulls me back and I pull him back and it's been really great. And of course it's our side job. You know, we both work full-time jobs, but it's been really satisfying to have this continuous thread of these projects that we're doing. So it's been great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to take that next one, Eric?
Yeah. So we're going to ask you guys, we're going to put you on the spot and see which one is your favorite child. What's your guys' favorite faction in any of your games that you guys have?
Wow. What's my favorite faction?
You know, that's normally the response we get.
Yeah, it's hard to pick.
I like the hero story, right? My favorite book is the Odyssey. So I'm going to say it's the Galacteers.
Okay.
That's the esprit that I like. Huh?
Right. You are the hero.
Exactly.
That's right. Right. How about you, Matt?
I like the Galacteers too. And, you know, both of these are sort of a human-centric story, you know? Right. And so the Galacteers are kind of larger than life and everything like that. But I got to admit, I really do like the Imperials. They are awesome for playing for War Rocket. They can really soak up the damage and dish it out, you know, so they're really fun. And the aesthetics on the models are really good. My brother, Phil, is quite the digital sculptor. And he did such an amazing job on all the models. And so they are really, I love just like pretending you're flying them around and everything.
Yeah, I totally could see that on the little string that you could see in the film just going across, and they got smoke coming out.
Yeah, that's the look we're going for, right? And I love playing robots for Retro Ray Gun. I mean, they are really cool. And the Horde rules are a little bit different than the regular rules. So things like the hoverbots and minibots can be like really powerful. Mm-hmm. And so they are really fun trying to get them to maneuver into just the right position and box some guys in and then cut them apart with their claws, you know?
Yep, so yep.
They are really fun.
You play those hoverbots right and you're going to win the game for sure.
Uh-oh. Yeah. They're I'm not great. Very tactical. I'm not a good player, so I love stuff that I can just run at things. That's my strategy in almost every force I play. Just run, shoot. And,
it's like, I got to get to the other side of the board. Yeah. Run you over in the process. Yeah, that's me.
So they fit my play style very well.
So what guy are you guys currently playing anything besides your own game? Is there anything that you guys love to play right now?
You know, I guess I haven't actually started playing yet. But Gods of War Matt was talking about me painting this giant army, and I had all these miniatures from 3 years ago or something when Gods of War did their Olympus stuff, and they're all Spartans. So I've got this huge army of their, I don't know, 1,500 points of Spartans.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. So yeah, I'm kind of slacking on painting my Titans for War Gods of Olympus. They're by Crocodile Games, you know, and they're great miniatures. And boy, John just like knocked it out of the park. I mean, just everything. And I bought him a few more. I bought him some chariots, and he's like, "I'm done." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's great."
I made some awesome terrain too. I made some temples and everything. It was super fun. But I actually we haven't gotten together to play yet because life is still busy. You know, we're the pandemic hasn't given us that much free time. Huh?
Yeah, I've been. For the last, I don't know, year and a half, I've been playing on and off with some other friends, Test of Honor. So that's a samurai skirmish game.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is a great game, too. It's really good. So I've had a lot of fun doing that. And I've been going old school. I've been using these miniatures from Dixon that have these really disproportionately huge heads and hands. And I don't know. I just love them. I've had them for a long time. So that's my forces. So I've got a couple of samurai forces and some bandits and things and all this 3D printed terrain and laser cut terrain. So
awesome. You know. Awesome. So yeah. I have Test of Honor. I haven't played it yet. Where I'm at, I don't have a game store and there's just a handful of us here that play. So I'm twisting people's arms. That's why I buy four factions so that I can say, you don't have to buy anything. Just come play.
Yeah.
Which they know what that really means is just come play and I'll show you the game and you'll like it. And then you'll go buy stuff. So they don't come and play because they know what I'm doing.
And that's the challenge with that. The big challenge with indie developers and indie games is that the market is so splintered. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, there's just so many different products and so many cool things. And so you almost have to do that to kind of get your small group in to play a game. You know, you have to kind of loop somebody else in, or you buy all the faction and all the different forces and, you know, somebody else will play another game and buy everything so you can at least trade off, you know?
Yeah. And I think like what you guys have done with your rule set, like you said, being generic, that you could play anything with it, that helps as well to have a rule set that does allow you to say, okay, you want to do a different setting with the Retro Ray Gun, go ahead and use that stuff or use these models elsewhere. I think that's a big help for the independent games is to be able to kind of cross-pollinate your games, for lack of a better term.
Right, because,
like for the Hydra miniatures I have, the rare occasions that I get to play Pulp Alley, I'll probably use some of them in Pulp Alley as well and use them in Retro Ray Gun. So that's a big appeal for me is how much use can I get out of these models in different games? And I think a lot of indie games do that really well.
Yeah, and that was the development. I mean, obviously, the miniatures have a story, and you can kind of tell from these archetypes how they sort of fit together and whatnot. But they're also meant that people pick them all the time and use them for Pulp Alley or Wile E. Games does a game called Galactic Heroes. And I get a lot of people to contact me like, I'm not into your games, which is okay, you know, right. But they're buying the figures and using them in a different way. Sure. So like, that's really fun to see like a Warbot being used in a steampunk game or something right. like that. You know, you see it all the time. So. Yeah.
Well, I think you guys have, from our perspective, done a wonderful job with the game and the models. And we're actually looking forward to getting it on the table. I have a pile of foam on the other side of my computer here and some stuff on the way to build a table, a little demo board. So even if you guys can't make it to Coastal Con, I'm going to see if I can't recruit somebody to run the game for me and at least have it represented for you guys.
Well, my schedule is open, but who knows what the universe is going to look like traveling to South Carolina. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that we can get together soon.
On the plus side, it is a coastal tourist town, so you can bring the wives, and there's plenty for them to do while you play with your little plastic and metal men.
Yeah.
That's the appeal for where we are right here anyway. What you got next, Eric, so we can start wrapping the end of this?
Well, we like to always kind of end the show with you guys giving the classic elevator pitch of the game. So if one of you guys or both of you guys want to kind of chime in and tell people out there why they want to look at your game, you know, that classic elevator pitch.
Oh, man, I'm going to let you start this, Matt, I think.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. It's been a long time since I've done one of these. I think the allure for all of our game systems is that we don't like to have a lot of record keeping. We don't like a lot of cards and niddly things flying around. We don't like a lot of tokens on the table. We want to focus on a miniature environment, playing these games and kind of getting them done in a respectable amount of time, you know, not having something that you got to have set up for 3 weekends to finish mm-hmm. up.
Yeah.
So all of our games share those things that once you actually learn the rules, you don't need the rule book. You can just have a couple of the charts and the stat sheets and you know what to do. And the table's not cluttered with all these status markers and all these different things. So that's what I like about our games a lot.
Yeah, definitely. I like the quickness and like you said, the stat cards. You're just your quick sheets, and you're good to go.
I think that I would add the miniatures are super cool. Thanks to Matt and his art direction and his sculpting, he's found a lot of sculptors in addition to himself that has. I think that the look of the game is really special. And when we roll it out at conventions or with other players, everybody just has a great time imagining that story unfold and imagine that you're in that comic book or in that Flash Gordon episode.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It there's still games where the best player usually wins, but there's a lot of fun, a lot of randomness and super fast action. So a lot of times when you roll those dice, you're all watching that one die roll and you scream when it comes out a certain way. So it's just a really fun game.
And it does look visually different, right? Like
you can
see and, you know, you're not going through a post-apocalyptic city that's all destroyed and guys with chainsaws strapped to their arms. It has
that's
a different
with skulls.
Skulls everywhere. It's different. We when we do run games, we actually get a lot of kids that come and play with their parents too, which is awesome, right?
And
that's been a lot of fun too. So it's got a certain type of aesthetic that seems to be lacking in today's games, right?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, Eric and I get the opportunity to talk to quite a few people, and so we see a lot of independent games, and you're spot on. The environment and even just the colors when you're painting, you're not painting dark. You're trying to paint these bright, vibrant colors, and the stuff on the board pops because while you might have a dark and desolate world that you're fighting on, it's some barren planet, you've got the Galacteers there with their, you know, they're standing boldly in their bright colored uniforms, and even the robots are bright and shiny. They're not rusty, and it does. It has this great appeal. The artwork is beautiful. It's very obvious that you guys really looked at your source material because, like you both said, we instantly knew the era, except for the mutton chops on Eddie Turbo that I added from the 70s. it's very it's very flash, black and white Flash Gordon, and it's just it's really a beautiful game. And for our listeners, you really have to check it out. It's very unique. The rule set with the ray gun roll off is very unique mechanic to get that super fast play in the game. The models are beautifully sculpted. Matt, I'm not sure which ones you've done. I'll go back through now. Now I got to know which ones.
Yeah.
And go back through and see. But they're all very beautiful. The appeal of them, this is a conversation Eric and I have had a couple of times, and it's mostly with any sort of pulp-style miniatures. And it's not that they're simplistic, but they're very easy to paint. And it's probably because they don't have 600 skulls on their belt.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, or pouches right. And buckles and stuff. Yeah.
You don't use pouches in the 25th and a half century. You exactly. just don't need pouches anymore. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. But it is such a – I can't wait to get it on the table. And we have this list of indie games we've got to get on the table that the pandemic has been kind of – chopping us down on, but I don't care. I play solo. I throw it on the table anyway, and I walk from one side of the table to the other and throw dice at myself. The best part about it is those are the games I can win.
So, 50% chance.
I win no matter what. I lose, but I still win. So it works out well in the end. And where can our listeners find your game? Where are the sources, the social media sources, internet sources, where can they find you guys?
Sure. So you can buy the products, obviously, from hydraminiatures.com. So that's a good place to go, right, if you want to buy them. Mm-hmm. But we do have retailers in different places that sell our stuff. So we have an exclusive UK retailer, War Games Emporium. And we also have, I think, Noble Knight carries our stuff. So
yeah, I think I've seen your stuff there.
Yeah. So they'll buy that. You know, you can get it from there. We have a pretty active Facebook group. That's almost 1,000 people, and you guys joined, and it's pretty awesome. So that's the Hydra Miniatures fan page.
Yep.
And it's great. People share a lot of crazy stuff on there and just cool art and video clips and everything like that. So it's not always related specifically to our games, but it's a great time, great group of people there.
Well, that's fantastic. And guys, I can't thank you guys enough for coming on. We love talking to independent game developers because, like we frequently say, I think every gamer has a game inside of them that they would like to create. Fortunately, we don't all do it because there would be a lot of bad games out there. Because while we might have an idea, most of us, myself included, probably couldn't follow through with the execution side of it. So having said that, thank you for coming up with a great game and being willing to step out and, you know, throw your game out there and see where it goes. I think that's really cool that you guys would do that. It's not an expensive game to get into for everyone listening. The rule book is not that expensive. I can't remember off the top of my head how much it was. Either one of you guys remember what it is on the website?
I can't remember. It's $40.
Okay. So it's not bad. It's pretty typical rule book, but I got pretty much the entire Galacteers for less than just over $100 with shipping. So that's pretty good for basically every model there is for Retro Ray Gun for one faction. That's a good deal for everybody that's listening. If you want to check it out, I encourage you to go to the Facebook page. There is some new content coming out on our YouTube channel that you guys can check out. We're putting some stuff out about Retro Ray Gun. Probably won't get any battle reports for a while just because, well.
Yeah, I didn't figure that one out still.
Yeah. still working on figuring that one out, but we are happy to open all of our toys and share with those. As usual, guys, we're going to post this on our YouTube channel. We'll also put the audio up on Podbean at Indie Invasion. And you can always find us at all the regular places, Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, Pocket Cast, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn. We're on all of those places. You can also check us out on Facebook. While you're going over and joining the Hydra Miniatures fan page, you can go over and give the Indie Invasion page a like. And also don't forget Coastal Con 2021 is, fingers crossed, as long as the universe, as John said, doesn't poo on us. We are going for Coastal Con 2021, where we focus on all of the independent games, which is what Indie Invasion is all about. So having said all of that and gotten all of that stuff out of the way, guys, thank you so much for being with us. I can't thank you enough for the toys, too. Yes.
I got three toys.
The toys. I'm loving the toys. I know what I'll be doing tonight after the kids go to bed.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks for having us. It was great meeting you guys, Mac and Eric. It was fantastic, and thanks for thinking about us, Sam.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. And when you guys are a little bit more towards getting Atomic Tank out there, let us know. We'd love to talk to you again and help you get the word out that it's coming out and spread the word. We are happy to do that. We love to do it. And anything independent makes us happy. So thank you, guys. Eric, you want to send us out?
Yeah, I'll send us out. Guys, when you're out there building your models and looking for that new retro spaceman, remember, prepare for the invasion.
Bye, guys.
Bye.